Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
We are going to continue our study through the rest of this month on what love is. So let me introduce the message today in this way. It's a story about this preacher who was a very kind man, and he just loved to do whatever he could to help others. And one day he was noticing this little boy who happened to be across the street, and he was trying to ring a doorbell that he couldn't reach. And he watched him for a little bit, and the boy kept jumping up, and he couldn't reach the doorbell. So the preacher walks across the street. He comes up to the little boy, and he says, "Can I help you ring that bell?" And the little boy started grinning. He said, "Yes, could you do that for me?" And so the preacher gave the doorbell a solid ring, and then he kind of crouched down to the child's level, and he said, "Now, is there anything else I can do for you, little man?" And the little boy answered, "Now you can run and hide with me," and he takes off. He was pulling a prank on that house. I read that story and I thought, I did that when I was a kid. And I got in trouble for it. Now here's why I share that story today. Sometimes being kind doesn't always work. But as we resume our look today at how Paul describes characteristics of love as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he states that love is kind. Now, I don't believe anyone here today thinks that we shouldn't be kind to others, but it can be difficult to be kind to certain people in certain situations. So the question we need to ask and answer today is this: just what is kindness, and what does it mean to be kind? I was looking up some different definitions of kindness this week. My favorite was this: having or showing a gentle nature and a desire to help others. Wanting and liking to do good things and to bring happiness to others. I like that definition. It is love in action. And as we focus on responding to others in a gentle way, we should seek to serve their needs. In the many examples where Jesus showed kindness to others, one thing that I noticed, in the midst of all the hustle and bustle and busyness of his life, Jesus used every interruption as a divine appointment to show kindness. And if we're going to learn to be kind, we're going to need to be willing to be interrupted, which takes a lot of patience. So with these introductory thoughts in mind, here's what I want to do for the rest of our time today in order to help us have the kind of hope that we need to show loving kindness. We're going to look at what I consider to be one of the great stories in the Old Testament, particularly about what it means to be kind. The story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to be there at the beginning here of the message. It takes place several years after David had replaced Saul as the king of Israel. And I believe this story can help provide us with several practical lessons that will help us to live out our lives in loving kindness. But as we always do, before we talk about this great example of kindness provided for us by King David, let's ask God for his wisdom, his understanding, as we open up his word. Let's pray. Good morning again, Father. We are grateful for this time to be together. We've sung praises to your name, been able to come around your table to remember Jesus in that special way in which he asked to be remembered. And now, Father, it's our time to open your word for a few moments. As always, I need your help that what is said today will be pleasing to you and helpful and encouraging to those who are here and those who are listening. Lord, we love you and we are so grateful for the many examples of kindness that we find in your word. We are grateful for the many examples of kindness that people have shown to us in our lives. And most importantly of all, for your example of kindness when you sent your son Jesus to die for us. Lord, as we take a look at this example from King David today, I pray we'll learn from it and grow from it. And Lord, help us to be people that have this loving kindness that we need to have in our lives. Bless your word and bless our time is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. As 2 Samuel chapter 9 opens up, King David has won many victories. He's defeated many ungodly nations. And now he's enjoying a time of relative peace and quiet throughout his kingdom. And so one day David asked the question, which we find in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 9. He asked, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul so I could show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, in order to understand this question, let me give you a little bit of background here. Saul was the first king of Israel. When he first became the king, he was pretty good, but he didn't end very good. Jonathan was King Saul's son, and he was heir to the throne. Jonathan and David became best friends shortly after David killed Goliath. But if you think about it for a moment, these two guys probably should have been bitter enemies. Because when someone takes something that you were expecting, that you thought was already yours, and in this case, it was a throne, it was a crown, it was a kingdom, it usually creates a lot of conflict. But in this case, even though Jonathan's father, Saul, became jealous of David and tried to kill him on many occasions, there was no animosity, no bitterness between Jonathan and David. Even when David was anointed, Jonathan knew he was going to be the next king of Israel. He was not in any way upset with that. In fact, he was totally okay with it. He became David's most ardent supporter. Now, when Jonathan finally realizes that his daddy, King Saul, is trying to kill David, Jonathan tells David, look, we probably need to separate for a while. It's not good that you're around here. My dad's trying to kill you, as you know. And so they kind of split up. But before they separate, Jonathan, who knows that one day David's going to be the new king, makes an appeal to David. Now, this is important for us to understand. This is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And so this is before David became king. This is Jonathan speaking to David. And let me read what it says beginning in verse 13 of 1 Samuel chapter 20. Jonathan says, if it pleases my father to do you harm, may the Lord do so to me and more so if I fail to inform you and send you away so that you may go in safety. And may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And if I am still alive, will you not show me the faithfulness of the Lord so that I will not die? And you shall never cut off your loyalty to my house, not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. Now, here's what we need to understand. In those days, it was customary when a new king took over that all the family members of the previous dynasty would be executed because that would eliminate the possibility of a revolt. And that's what many kings did. That wasn't good, but that's what they did. So Jonathan is saying here, David, I know you're going to be the next king of Israel, but when you take over, please don't kill me, and please spare the lives of my family. So David affirms to Jonathan that he's going to do that. He promises Jonathan he will be treated well whenever this transition of power takes place, and then they go their separate ways. Now, we know in the years that follow, Saul and Jonathan, along with Saul's other two sons, are killed in a battle with the Philistines. It was soon after that that David becomes the king of Israel. So that's the brief background, the story, as we lead up now to 2 Samuel chapter 9, where David is asking if there's anyone left in Saul's house that he can show kindness to on behalf of his good friend Jonathan. Now, what we need to realize here, David is remembering the promise, the covenant that he had made with his friend Jonathan. And so he summons a servant of King Saul's household named Ziba. And here's what we read in verses 2 and 3 of 2 Samuel 9. Then the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." Then the king said, "Is there no one remaining in the house of Saul to whom I could show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan, one who is disabled in both feet." Now, as we're going to see, this young man who was crippled is Mephibosheth. And he's the only son of Jonathan who's still alive. You see, he wasn't born crippled. But on that day that his father and his grandfather and his two uncles died, it wasn't a good day for him either. Mephibosheth was 5 years old at the time. He was in the palace back in Israel. And when the news reached the palace that the king and all his sons are dead, they were certain that the enemy was going to come crashing through the doors of the palace to kill everyone else there. So Mephibosheth's nurse grabs him, and as she hurries out of the place, she stumbles, and the young boy falls from her arms, and he becomes permanently disabled. I wonder if he was, in essence, telling David, "He's crippled, he's not really worth doing anything for. I mean, if it were me, I wouldn't even bother." Now, we're not told that he said that, and I don't know that. The only reason I bring it up is to say this. David didn't use that disability as a reason to not show him kindness. And so we read what happens in verses 4 and 5. So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent messengers who brought him from the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now let me just stop here to give you the picture. So where is Mephibosheth? Well, let me tell you about Lodabar. Lo means no, Dabar means pasture. In other words, this was a forsaken area. There was no pasture, no grass. It was a desolate wasteland with no vegetation. That is where this disabled man had been spending his days since he was 5 years old, and scholars believe by this time he was in his mid-20s. That's where he was living. Now, I want you to picture the life of Mephibosheth. He wasn't really living. He was existing in this wasteland. And then David sends for him. And I can only imagine what's going through Mephibosheth's mind. He opens the door, and there stands this group of soldiers who say to him, "The king wants to see you." Now he's probably thinking to himself, "This is it. They finally found me. I've had it. My life is soon going to be over." Mephibosheth goes back with the soldiers. He meets David. Verse 6 says that he came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he said, "Here is your servant." Now, put yourself in the sandals of Mephibosheth, if he even had any in that day. He's got to be scared to death. His father, Jonathan, is dead. His brothers are dead. He's been hiding out in the wilderness ever since kindergarten. And now he finds himself standing before this mighty warrior, King David. I mean, this is the guy who killed a lion. This is the guy who slew that giant, Goliath. And even if he had heard that David wanted to show him kindness, it was very common for kings to say one thing, but mean and do pretty much the opposite. Know anyone like that? Let me give you an example. Remember that story in the New Testament when the wise man went to see Jesus? King Herod was talking to the wise man. What did he say? He said, "Hey guys, when you find that cute little boy, come and tell me where he is so I can go worship him." Right? Herod had no desire to worship Jesus. He wanted to kill Jesus because that's the way many kings operated. So Mephibosheth had to think that his life was in jeopardy, which is no doubt why we read this now in verse 7. Then David said to him, "Do not be afraid, for I will assuredly show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan." But that's not all. Listen to the next part. "And I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you yourself shall eat at my table regularly. The Hebrew word for kindness here is most often translated in the Old Testament as loving kindness. It's translated that way 127 times just in the book of Psalms. And then verse 8 says, again, he, Mephibosheth, prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you should be concerned about a dead dog like me?" Humility. He was humble. Mephibosheth was saying, "David, how do I deserve this kindness that you're giving to me?" Now look at verses 9 through 11. Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, "Everything that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson will have food to eat. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly." Wow, what a life-changing moment in Mephibosheth's life. From Lodibar, no pasture, a wasteland, to having everything that belonged to his grandfather. And he's now going to be able to eat at the same table with King David for the rest of his life. Can you see why this story is a great example of kindness? Well, now it's time for the lesson. So if you're wondering why I haven't got to the outline yet, we're now getting there. I wanted to tell the story first, then we're going to make the applications. And here's the first lesson we can learn. You are to show kindness to your family and friends. I mean, this overwhelming expression of kindness came about all because of David's close friendship with Jonathan, who was Mephibosheth's father. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking. Well, come on, Sam, you don't need to tell us that we need to show kindness to our family and friends. I mean, that's a given. Is it? Is that a given? You see, I think it's sometimes difficult to show kindness to family and friends. Does anyone here have some family members that just may be difficult for you to be kind to? Those who are closest to us are often the ones who get the short end of the kindness stick. And we can rationalize this. We can say, "Oh, they'll be okay. They love me. They understand me. They'll get over it." The truth is, sometimes it's easier for us to perform a random act of kindness for a total stranger than it is for a loved one. So my challenge this morning is, we just can't sit back and wait for an opportunity to present itself to show kindness to our family and friends. We must take the initiative. So instead of just doing random acts of kindness for others, how about we start doing some intentional acts of kindness for those who are closest to us? Maybe we need to, in all seriousness and with an open heart, pray about and do what David was doing as he was asking the question in verse 1. Maybe our question should be, "Lord, is there anyone in my family? Are there any of my friends that I need to show kindness to for your sake? Is there anyone I've overlooked? Is there anyone I just tend to skip over and don't show them kindness like I should?" For us to live out God's kind of love, we must start by showing kindness to our family and friends. So this week, my encouragement to you is, write an encouraging note. Maybe buy one of your friends or family members a small gift. Make them cookies. Take them out to eat. Do something around the house. Do something for them rather than always letting them do something for you. Second lesson from the story. Show kindness to someone who can't return the favor. Now, this is gut check time for me, because it is very easy to be selective with our kindness. And sometimes, even though we may not want to admit it, the determining factor in showing kindness is whether or not there's something in it for us. We must evaluate where our motives are. Think about this question. What does a crippled guy living in Lodibar, the desolate place, have to offer to a powerful king? Not much, certainly not from an earthly or human point of view. And yet we know, as we read through the Bible, we see that God has always commanded his people to care for, to show compassion and kindness to those who are less fortunate. One of Jesus' parables, Matthew records it as the last one, was about this very thing. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is speaking about what will happen when he returns for judgment. And I want to pick it up in verse 34. This is Jesus speaking. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Well, then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you as sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will answer and say to them, "Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you did it for me." Jesus was speaking here about showing kindness. Mark Twain once said, "Kindness is the language that the deaf can hear and the blind can read." Just imagine what is going to happen in you and through you as you show kindness to those who cannot return the favor. One more lesson I want to talk about, number three. Show kindness when it may not be deserved. Oh, this is the hard one. Now, what you need to remember here, the family of Mephibosheth had been extremely harsh to David. All of them except for Jonathan. They tried to kill him. They fought against him for years. And after Jonathan's death, David could have said, "Okay, that changes things. Jonathan's dead. I don't need to keep my promise anymore." But David was not like that. David was a godly man. Therefore, he expressed kindness even though it may not have been deserved. So let me ask you this question. Do any of us deserve the kindness of God? Let me answer that question emphatically. The answer is no. We don't deserve his kindness, his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. And you know why? Because he loves us. It's that simple. God loves us. When we express kindness when it is undeserved, we are doing what Jesus regularly practiced. Paul wrote these words, Romans 12, 20 and 21. "But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Your kindness to those who don't deserve it will be rewarded, and you may even see them saved. Mephibosheth may not have deserved David's kindness, but he gave it to him anyway. Now, you may know some people who do not deserve your kindness. Will you give it to them anyway? Now, I want to give another inspiring example of what kindness looks like. And yes, I'm getting close to the end here. As you've heard me say before, one of, if not the greatest president in my mind, and one I respect, was Abraham Lincoln. One story is this. During his busy schedule, during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln would often visit hospitals to encourage and comfort those who had been wounded in battle. On one occasion, he was visiting a young soldier who was near death. And Lincoln knelt down beside his bed and he said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" "Please write a letter to my mother," came the reply. Unrecognized by the soldier, the President of the United States sat down and wrote as the youth dictated to him what to say to his mother. Here's what the letter read. "My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty, and I won't recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and Father. Kiss Mary and John for me." Well, the young man was too weak to go on. So Lincoln signed the letter for him and then added this postscript, which is why we still have the letter, "Written for your son by Abraham Lincoln." The young man got enough strength to ask to see the note, and he was astonished to discover who had shown him so much kindness. "Are you really our president?" He asked. Yes, was the quiet answer. And then Lincoln says, is there anything else I can do for you? And the lad very feebly replied, will you please hold my hand? I think it would help to see me through to the end. The president grabbed his hand, granted his request, offering warm words of encouragement, and stayed throughout the night, holding his hand till the young soldier died the following morning. That's what kindness looks like. Lincoln would later say, wherever I am, whatever I possess, there's always something that I can give. A touch, a smile, a prayer, a kind word, even a scarf. Yes, that's what kindness looks like. Now, here's my fear as we conclude, that you're going to hear this entire story and just make the application that you need to show kindness and goodness as King David did and President Abraham Lincoln did, and that's all true. But there's another powerful application in this story that I do not want us to miss. You see, you and I are Mephibosheth in this story. For we have brought nothing to the table. We were lame, crippled, and handicapped by sin. And yet God, in an incredible act of mercy, grace, and loving kindness, has said to every single one of us, I want you at my table. That's what God has said. It's not because you look good. It's not because you're smart. Not because you make right decisions. Just because he loves you. And I praise God today for his loving kindness. Now there are two types of Mephibosheths here today. Many of you here have accepted God's offer to feast at his table. I want to encourage you to remember who you were and how you got to where you are. How you're going to stay here. What you're going to do while you are here until you get to that final feast in heaven. Celebrate, become a giver of loving kindness. The other type of Mephibosheth here today are those who have yet to accept God's offer. Are you willing to come to his table and enjoy the family feast? Life becomes a joyful adventure when we decide to live a life of love and show it through kindness.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.